Yeah, so there was a lot already said on the Isaac, so I try to kind of avoid those topics, kind of go beyond that. And also me coming more from the research side, so I try to be a bit more, I don't know, open and looking. So it will not be like 100% standardization in line. And when I was preparing the presentation and then looking at the location, I was thinking, so was he around Seattle done some research or some interesting things on sensing? And I was looking, and they're like, yeah, well, there was the YC, the Wi-Fi sensing. It's actually now you can see it around. And we also in the DT worked on that. It's kind of interesting product that you can deploy at home. And it's sensing on small scale, right? So you can deploy it, you have full control. And then if you go for the cellular sensing, you expand it. You go much more beyond that, which brings its own challenges. And I will try to kind of look into those. But first, okay, where we are right now with the eyesight, with the sensing. So it kind of started as an idea. Okay, we have sufficient, let's say, capabilities that we can deploy. We can go in for that. So this duality of communication and sensing became an idea. Then it was a research topic, and then somehow it became overhyped. And it's actually an issue that we are even facing now because not everyone is at the same point in the timeline. Because we started looking at the ISAC, realized, okay, there are some challenges and so on. So you can do a lot, but not everything. And it's not for free. But then if you have a customer, large ones, governments, defense coming to you, well, we heard about the sensing, you have infrastructure pretty much covering the whole country. So can you do this and that and so on? Maybe can you even, I don't know, look into the people's health, measure the heart rate? Well, you can, but not if you're looking from the macro station, so you cannot do that. So with this realization, I think a lot of people reach that stage that it's not for free, but you can do a lot. And Isaac will has its place. And I always try to say, well, it will not be just Isaac. There are other solutions. We have radars, lidars, cameras, the Wi-Fi sensing. So we should not be trying to address everything. It's kind of also the issue with 5G. We try to bring 5G and use it as a solution for every single use case. And where we got. So let's try to be more realistic this time. Take an approach that, okay, so what we can really do. What does it mean? What are the trades-off? And then kind of bring it to the 5G and then later 6G, which is on its own, let's say, a development that took some place because even us, we started more from the research side, looking into, okay, ISAC, you can do some things, some interesting use cases, but is there a market? We are first and foremost the provider of communication services. And if you use the resources for something else, you are actively losing money because you need to spend energy for that, and you cannot provide voice calls or data transmissions. But then the, well, global situation that we heard before, not just in the Middle East, but also in Europe, because we have one of our NATCOs at the border with unfriendly state, to put it nicely. So those guys also started looking, so what we can do. And now they are looking into all options, not just ISAC. You have the true, I would say, like the passive sensing, where you do not actively transmit sensing signal, but just listen. If the drone is flying, usually there is some communication. So you can look into the mobile data and try to use maybe some AI stuff, figure out that's a drone. Because of the traffic pattern looks like this and that. You can try to detect the communication. So if an operator is using some RF device to communicate a control, you can do that. But if you truly want to address the full landscape, well, then you need to do the radar approach for the passive target. So this is kind of where I am looking mostly, and I will try to go into that. So there are a lot of challenges. I think you heard pretty much most of them, if not all of them. So the infrastructure, you have antennas, that's also related to the self-interference. Because if you want to start or do the monostatic solution, you transmit, you receive, and you basically push so much power that you will not get any useful data. Density, that's an interesting thing, and that we are looking both from challenge side and from the perspective of opportunity. So how the sensing will look like on large scale. So we started looking in the, let's say, urban areas, rural areas, to see our deployments, where we can detect, for example, the drone as the low hanging fruit. And with that, we also evolved kind of our thinking beyond the ISAC, because first was, okay, sensing ISAC, you can do it jointly or in integrated fashion. So monostatic. Yeah, but the self-interference and other issues, then we realized, okay, maybe it's not the only way and it may need to maybe some changes. So bistatic, if you can do the bistatic, you can do the multistatic. You can significantly improve the localization accuracy, which in the end you need to do. Because if you use a tight beam for sensing at 500 meters and 1 kilometer, it becomes quite large. So maybe before we get to the full duplex communication, we may need to go take different steps to go for solutions that actually work now. Yeah, so from those challenges, I would maybe go on the privacy one. So how much we should see and sensing data protection from the operator perspective, the first and foremost challenge that we have, because we will be the one that are responsible for it. So we started looking into how much of data we should transport, how much we should get. And it kind of nicely relates to the second point of energy consumption. If you don't sense, you save energy. There's no privacy if you don't get any data, right? So from the operator perspective, in a way, if you want to protect privacy and also meet the goals that you save the energy, it's kind of going nicely hand in hand. And the last point here, the regulatory aspect regarding the spectrum, because we have licenses for communication, but not for like radar licenses. But there was, a month ago, end of April, so focusing on mostly on Europe, CEPT started looking into the 3.6 gigahertz, how we can support the ISAC in there, in this band. So there's also support in from the regulatory perspective. And just on the right side, that you know the meaning behind those. So our student was working on the sensing, and in front of one of the offices, we said, okay, let's try it. Let's try how does it look like on the license spectrum that we have. And they was detecting the cars, and you can even see beyond what you can visually see, which is also quite important for the drone tracking, because quite often the drone is far away. You can detect it through the sensing, RF sensing, but not visually. Or you need to have really huge apertures for optical sensing or optical detection. Yeah. So as I said, coming from more of the research side, so I was working with colleagues on the ComSense 6G project, where we start looking in the use cases, the architecture, the privacy, the multi-modal fusion, because if data is there, why not to use it? And now we are working on the sensation project, where we try to bring it to reality. And there is also this aspect of non-line of sight sensing, because quite often where we start with line of sight, right? Why we also went for the drones, it's above buildings. There's minimal clutter. But a drone also can fly below the buildings in urban canyons. And if you really look into it, then, well, every one of us can buy a drone. You can put some stuff that's not too nice and then fly. So that's also something that we're trying to have a look into. As mentioned, even beyond the project, looking into the sensing across large areas. So for example, even like border protection and the fusion of multi-static, multi-modal data to use pretty much whatever is there. Isaac and standardization. So it's already a hot topic, I would say. That's kind of why we meet here today. And there are a lot of things that you can do now. There are things that need standardization. A lot of what was mentioned, so I will not go into the details. But from my perspective, you need to define the base stuff, basics that you can do the sensing, you can transport the data, you define the KPIs. But a lot of stuff should likely not be standardized to give the freedom for the flexibility to evolve it. Kind of like this monostatic UAV sensing that's in 3GPP and 5G, because suddenly was the decision, let's push the timelines, let's bring it earlier, let's not wait for the 6G. And now we are kind of stuck with what's kind of going there, focusing on the timelines. And like I said, the 6G approach is where we can do it, multi-static, or even leverage the UEs, be it smartphones or operator deployed ones, suddenly start making sense. So we are in the ORAN meeting. So I think, again, most of it was covered. So if you kind of look for the monostatic sensing, you can do it in ORU, ODU, some real-time processing, fusion, maybe a bit higher, play with policies, models in the SMO. But still the open front hall and multi-vendor support from operator perspective are critical. Was mentioned even maybe look into the SRAN, not just the ORAN deployments. So you need to be able to have a solution that works across multiple vendors. Because if you look at now, we have already our network there. And if you want need to kind of rip and replace everything, who's going to pay for that, right? Because even the business case for the ISAC is not really completely understood. Even we don't understand it completely. How much we should charge for that? How much would the end customer would be willing to pay for that? We don't know yet. We're trying to figure it out. So there are a lot of aspects, like additional questions being added to those that were already presented that are still there. And if I'm looking kind of beyond the 5G toward the 6G, to kind of put the ideas together. So you need to have architecture that supports it. I would say both 3GPP and ORAN, so it cannot be either, and they need to work together. And they need to support external data sources as well. Coordinated sensing, well, you need to have that, because you do the communication, so communication versus communication for interference, communication versus sensing, sensing versus sensing. So those are aspects that somehow you need to control. And then you introduce the UEs. And that you don't really need UEs would play an active role. Sensing fusion. We heard also about variety of data to be used, and that's something that we're trying to look at. We also have colleagues looking at the optical sensing. So you can get some data there, some data from other sources, and then join them, do the diffusion. Exposure, in the end, you need to be able to provide a service. So you need to get the request, the information, you need to be charged for that, authorized, and have the strong privacy controls. And then, or maybe talk a bit more about the sensing quality of service, because that's something that with my colleague, we were really looking into it. Well, in the end, what do you want as a customer? You want to detect a drone. You want to localize it, I don't know, within some area. You want to know where it's flying and so on. It differs. And the thing is, sometimes you just need to know in, I don't know, given area, there is an object presented. It's a drone. And that's sufficient. You may need to track it. You can use different type of service. And if we are talking with some public safety services, even then, they do not sometimes know what they want. So you kind of need to go for the testing, do it with customers, so they see, okay, these are the things that you can do. And now, if we are, as I mentioned, looking into the network that we have to see what we can do, when the request will come, we need to be able to see, yeah, we can satisfy the request. We can do that. We can provide it as we can meet the requirements or not. We may do it, I don't know, with lower accuracy. As they sometimes do not know, they still may be fine with that. And trustworthy sensing. Well, because it's about privacy in the end, because now, nowadays you have your smartphones, you use Apple, Google, whatever you use, so they know a lot of things about you. But you still can decide not to use it. But if you are sensed, what's the protection, right? So we need to kind of do it in a way, minimize the data that we get, which plays actually along nicely from the energy perspective. But if you want to kind of provide the detection for the drones, you kind of need to keep it running all the time. So the sleep modes are not really reachable, or you need to do it much faster. So we need to be smart about that and look into how to save the energy. And just a few key takeaways to kind of conclude my presentation. So ISAC is a part of solution. It's not a solution for everything. Because if we think about that we need to do everything, it will fail. What will happen? We will have another 5G, which we don't want to have. Standardization is necessary, but we need to look into which parts we need to standardize, which need to be open. We are in discussion with startups, with academia, people having ideas, sometimes crazy ones, but sometimes you get some interesting insights from that. So we need to be able to reflect on that, adapt it in the network. And as for the business aspects, it's new type of service. We have been able to provide communication so far, and this is completely different aspect of mobile network that they will be capable of. So the sensing. Well, we can just provide the IQ data. Actually, some customers would love to have the IQ data and full control maybe of the network. So the governance is another question. But quite often, if you look, for example, the data from the space, the business is in the intelligence. You take the data, you extract the information and provide it to customer. So we need to, from the operator perspective, look also on the intelligence side, not just getting the data like the echoes and IQ data. Okay, well, there is an object, that's it. And if you look about all of those things, then the ORAN could be a good solution, because it can be open, interoperable, right? So we can integrate variety of operators and virtualized. So that's all from my side. And if there are any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
One question on your thoughts on ISAC for communication use case.
Just in general. Yeah, that's also something that we have been looking into, that if you sense objects, you kind of know their locations, so you can optimize your network, for example, for handovers. That's something that we have been looking into, to kind of proactively do it, to maybe avoid wasting resources, improve the quality of service. So yeah, it's something that's of interest, but you always kind of need to look, okay, what's already there and how much do we gain from that? Because ISAC doesn't come for free.
So I think your question around energy savings, from the economics of sensing, does that completely change the notion of turning down cells because it's always on? And what does it do to the economics of it?
Yeah, it changes it, because kind of we are looking into, let's say, the zero bit, zero watt policy in a way, that if you don't need to transmit, you don't do it. Sensing goes completely against that.
Yes, exactly.
Especially if the object that you are trying to sense is not where you are actively communicating, right? So it needs to kind of work in a way that you kind of go for the minimum amount of energy that you spend. And you also need to look into, does it make sense for us? Well, from the business perspective, right? So it's something that still is not completely clear. We don't know the answers, like how to do it, but it's an objective, right?